Title of my sermon this morning is A Mother's Faith. And today, as we begin a new sermon series on faith, I thought that it was fitting that on Mother's Day, it was a perfect occasion because it invites us to reflect on the deep, enduring faith of the mothers that we encounter in Scripture. These are the women whose prayers have moved mountains, whose sacrifices have shaped destinies, and whose trust in God has left eternal imprints on all generations. A mother's faith is one of God's most powerful instruments. Amen? It is not merely a personal belief. It is a force that builds, nurtures, and sustains. In the hands of the Lord, a mother's faith becomes a catalyst for miracles, a shelter in storms, and a legacy that reverberates beyond her years. It is a legacy that often shapes families, influences generations, and advances the kingdom of God. And so today, as we reflect on a timeless truth, a mother's faith is a generational blessing. Amen? It endures beyond the moment, the home, or the lifetime, reaching out into the destinies of children, grandchildren, and beyond. And it is not confined by space or time. A mother's whispered prayer today may be the answer to a great-grandchild's need tomorrow. From Genesis to Revelation, Scripture reveals how God uses faithful mothers to bring about His purposes in powerful ways. So as we explore their stories, let us remember behind every spiritual legacy, there was likely a mother on her knees in prayer. These are women who believed when it made no sense to believe, who gave when they had nothing left to give, and who trusted when all seemed lost. So first, we look at the faith of Jochebed and her courage to protect. In a world that often tempts mothers to fear for their children's futures, we find a profound example of fearless faith in Jochebed. Her environment was hostile, the law was against her, and yet her trust in God was greater than her fear of Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's banks. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when they saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Jochebed's story reveals the power in trusting God when all other options seem gone. Her faith was not passive, it was active, courageous, and strategic. And mothers today can draw strength from her bravery, knowing that protecting a child doesn't always look like swords and shields. It sometimes looks like quiet, intentional faith and wise decisions rooted in prayer. Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she crafted a small ark of bulrushes and laid him in the river, trusting God for his protection. In her hands, an ordinary basket became the vessel of divine preservation. And her courage to act in faith made her a partner in God's plan for Israel's freedom. And the New Testament confirms this bold act of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. See, Jochebed, she did not obey fear, she obeyed God. Amen? Her act was not only protective, but it was prophetic. And the outcome? Well, we see in Acts chapter 7, verse 20 through 22. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. God took Jochebed's hidden child and raised him to lead a nation. That's what a mother's faith can do. It covers, it carries, and it calls forth purpose. Like Jochebed, mothers today are called to cover their children with faith, trusting that God's hand will preserve and guide them. Her story is a reminder that God honors courageous, protective love. She did not surrender to fear. Instead, she took action in faith. And her decision not only saved a life, it positioned Moses to become a deliverer for an entire nation. What a mother chooses in private, in prayer, trust, and sacrifice, can influence public destiny. From Jochebed's courage, we move to another woman whose faith bore fruit through prayer and dedication. And so now we look at the faith of Hannah and her prayer and dedication. Every mother carries dreams in her heart. And some of those dreams are fulfilled and others are yet to be born. And Hannah's pain of barrenness led her not to simple bitterness, but to relentless prayer. Her tears became her testimony, and her longing gave birth not only to a son, but to a prophet. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Hannah teaches us that surrender isn't a loss. It's an act of faith that multiplies what we place in God's hands. Her willingness to return Samuel to the Lord became a turning point in the history of Israel. To every praying mother, God sees your anguish and hears your cry. Your offering, like Hannah's, could be the seed for national change. In anguish, Hannah made a vow, not a bargain of desperation, but a declaration of devotion. And her prayer wasn't just heard, it was honored. God answered her petition, and she named her son Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and 1 skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. See, Hannah, she didn't cling tightly to the gift. She gave it back to the giver. In return, God raised Samuel up as a mighty prophet. And why did her prayer avail so much? Because it was fervent. James chapter 5, verse 16b reminds us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And Hannah's story teaches us that a mother's faith prays fervently and surrenders fully. Hannah prayed with passion and purpose and also gave with reverence. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The faith of Hannah modeled what it means to surrender even our most precious dreams to God. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Hannah teaches us that God sees the tears shed behind closed doors. Hannah's womb bore a prophet, but her faith bore a testimony. She reminds us that we dedicate in faith, that God will multiply it in purpose. Mothers who pray from broken places should know that God is not distant. He is moved by desperation, wrapped in trust. And while Hannah prayed out of spiritual hunger, the next woman acted in faith during physical famine. So next we look at the faith of the widow of Zarephath and her obedience and lack. See, our faith doesn't always look grand. Sometimes it looks like scraping the last bit of flour from a jar, believing that God will stretch it further. The widow of Zarephath had nothing left but obedience, and that was enough for God to begin a miracle. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. This unnamed widow was gathering sticks in order to prepare a final meal for herself and her son when Elijah asked her to bake a cake for him. Though she only had a handful of flour and a little oil, she obeyed the word of the prophet. Her faith, expressed through obedience, unlocked a miraculous provision. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry. What we see as not enough becomes more than enough in the hands of God. Amen? The widow reminds us that obedience in seasons of lack opens doors to supernatural provision. Her decision to serve first, even in scarcity, was a declaration of trust in God's promise over her reality. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41a, "He who receives a prophet in name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." A mother's faith gives even in times of scarcity, believing that Jehovah Jireh will provide. And Philippians 4:19 assures us, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This mother reminds us that God honors obedience even when it costs everything. Her trust transformed her kitchen into a place of supernatural supply. And many mothers today are maybe facing financial strain or emotional drought, but God still multiplies what is surrendered to Him in faith. And as the widow trusted God in drought, the Shunammite woman trusted Him in death. So now we examine the faith of the Shunammite woman and her trust in resurrection. So what does a mother do when the very promise God gave her suddenly dies? The Shunammite woman teaches us to trust, not in circumstances, but in the one who gives life and restores it. Her story is a testament of faith that refuses to let go, even when everything else looks lost. And when her promised son suddenly dies, the Shunammite woman did not collapse in despair. Instead, she laid her child on the prophet's bed and went to find Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 25 through 31. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Then when she had came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." See, the Shunammite woman, she didn't ask for a resurrection. She expected one. Her actions shouted while her lips only whispered, "It is well." In her darkest moment, she didn't bury her faith. She carried it to the feet of the prophet. Her miracle began not with resurrection, but with relentless trust. Her faith did not deny the pain, it declared trust. Her faith moved the prophet to intercede, and her son was raised from the dead. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 through 37. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, "Pick up your son." She went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. And when her promised son suddenly died, the Shunammite woman did not fall into despair. A mother's faith believes in God's resurrection power. Not just for the physically dead, but for every dream, promise, or hope that seems lost. She had no blueprint for resurrection, but she believed in the one who had given the promise. Amen? Her journey shows that even in devastating moments, faith can hold on to hope until God restores life. So mothers, don't bury what God still plans to breathe on. And next we turn to the most iconic mother in Scripture, Mary, the mother of Jesus. So let us examine the faith of Mary, of surrender and obedience. Among all the women in Scripture, Mary stands as the model of youthful faith and holy surrender. Her yes to God, it altered history. She was not just the mother of Jesus. She was the very first disciple of Christ, embracing the path of glory and grief. So Luke chapter 1, verse 28 through 38. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of King David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and is now in the sixth month of her, or for her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary's story reminds us that saying yes to God doesn't always lead to comfort. It often leads to calling. She embraced shame, carried a miracle, and endured heartbreak for the sake of salvation. Her faith endured from the manger to the cross and into that resurrection morning. Mary's faith began with complete surrender. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This woman, she was chosen to bear the Savior of the world. And Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 affirm this divine plan. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." At the wedding in Cana, Mary, she believed in Jesus' power before He had performed His first miracle. John chapter 2, verse 5, His mother said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." Then at the cross, she stood near her son, watching the agony of crucifixion, yet remained faithful. John chapter 19, verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother, and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Mary's life is a portrait of enduring faith. A faith that trusts in God's plan, even when it leads through suffering. Luke chapter 2, verse 35 foretold, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Her faith and obedience opened the door to the world's redemption. So Mary's life is a portrait of unwavering obedience and deep spiritual strength. Mary's journey reminds us that the call of God is often costly. She bore ridicule, uncertainty, and a pierced heart, but she never turned away. She believed in Jesus before the miracles, and she remained by Him at the cross. Her faith is the model of costly devotion and surrendered purpose. And Mary's surrender reflects another mother who chose, or whose faith crossed cultural barriers and captured Jesus' attention. So let's examine the faith of the Canaanite woman and her persevering intercession. This mother, she came to Jesus with nothing but desperation and hope. She wasn't part of the covenant people, yet her persistent faith broke through cultural boundaries and drew a miracle from the Master Himself. Her story speaks to every mother who feels unseen, unheard, and unworthy. And yet her faith still moved God. This Gentile woman came to Jesus on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter. And though initially met with silence and what seemed like rejection, she pressed on in faith. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which may fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. See, this woman, her faith was unpolished. Her background unlikely, but her belief, it was unshakable. She wasn't deterred by the silence, the rejection, or the offense, because her daughter's deliverance was on the line. And this is the kind of faith that touches heaven, that determined, humbled, and enduring faith. And God still honors persistent intercession. Jesus marveled at her great faith and granted her request, saying, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." Mother's faith does not quit. It presses through barriers, silence, and even perceived rejection, knowing that Jesus is merciful and mighty to save. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 30:18 reminds us, "Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." This woman, her faith delivered her daughter, demonstrating a faith that faith reaches across cultural and ethnic lines. Her story speaks to mothers interceding for children battling addiction, mental illness, or spiritual bondage. Her persistence reveals that God is moved not just by eloquence, but by relentless belief. She did not let offense, culture, or silence block her cry. And because of her faith, her daughter was made whole. From her persevering plea, we end with a mother and grandmother whose faith laid a spiritual foundation for a New Testament leader. So the faith of Lois and Eunice and their generational faith. There are few gifts more powerful or enduring than the inheritance of faith passed on from one generation to the next. While culture may shift and values may change, the seed of faith planted in a child's heart can bear fruit for a lifetime and beyond. And in the life of Timothy, we see such a legacy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says the following, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." See, this was no borrowed belief. Paul recognized that Timothy's faith was genuine and that it came from faithful women who raised him. These were not women in positions of power or public ministry, and yet they made an eternal impact. And faith like that doesn't appear overnight. It is molded, it is taught, and it is lived out daily in the quiet consistency of a godly home. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." See, Lois and Eunice, they trained Timothy, not with pressure or performance, but with love and with truth. Their home was a spiritual greenhouse where the seed of God's word could take root. They didn't merely instruct, they demonstrated faith through scripture reading, acts of kindness, prayer, and perhaps most powerfully, their response to hardship. Faithful mothers like Lois and Eunice can show us that you do not need a pulpit to preach. You just need a life that speaks. You don't need a crowd to influence. You just need a child to invest in. You don't need a perfect home. You need a Christ-centered home. Timothy didn't stumble into ministry. He was shaped by it from his crib. Even Paul acknowledges that Timothy was different, not just because of his call, but because of his foundation. In a time where many homes are spiritually fragmented, Lois and Eunice remind us that one faithful mother or grandmother can change a family line. They also give hope to mothers and grandmothers today that your unseen faithfulness is never wasted. Amen? Your investment today may not bloom in a day, but it will bloom in God's time. All of these examples that we've looked at this morning point to a greater hope that is found in the gospel. The gospel message, a mother's faith points to Christ. Each mother we have studied ultimately points to Jesus. Jochebed's ark points to salvation through Christ, who is our refuge. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled to the refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Hannah's dedication mirrors God giving his only son. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The widow's obedience reflects our trust in the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The Shunammite woman prefigures the resurrection through Christ. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Mary surrendered, opened the way for redemption. But Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The Canaanite woman reveals Christ's mercy for us all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Lois and Eunice show how faith is multiplied through spiritual heritage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. A mother's faith matters deeply. It changes homes, it influences nations, and it echoes in eternity. Today we have journeyed through the stories of faithful mothers, women who trusted God in danger, in barrenness, in poverty, in loss, in surrender, in silence, and in legacy. Each one teaches us this truth. A mother's faith is never wasted. It is never unseen by God, and it is never without impact. Whether whispered in prayer beside a crib, shouted in desperation in a hospital room, or quietly lived out in the day-to-day in sacrificial love, a mother's faith is a mighty seed in the hands of God. To every mother listening today, whether you are a birth mother, adoptive mother, spiritual mother, or a mother still waiting on a promise, your faith matters. You may not see the full harvest of your prayers. You may not know how far your faith will reach, but God does. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 declares, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So don't lose heart, mothers. Keep praying, keep believing, keep sowing, because your faith is writing a story that eternity will remember. And to all of us, whether we had a mother of faith or a long for one or are trying to become one. Let today be a call to honor the women of faith in our lives, to cherish the heritage of belief they've passed down, to become people whose faith lives beyond ourselves. And may we rise with the same courage of Jochebed, the same surrender as Mary, and the same persistence of the Canaanite woman. And may our lives reflect the greatest example of love and faith the world has ever seen, Christ Jesus. Let every generation say, we are here because someone believed and had faith. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the faith of the women that we find in the Scriptures. That their faith ultimately points to your Son. Father, we give you thanks for those who have loved us, prayed for us. Father, this morning we ask that you lift up our mothers. We ask that you bring fond memories that we have if our mothers have already crossed to glory. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus. And so we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.